Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, October 23rd, and we're joined once again by Jonathan Birdsong. My man, how are you this week?
Brandon Reese, it's great to be back. Got a lot to
talk about. Yeah, a lot to talk about. Very good weekend for the Hoosier State, mostly. The team down south didn't do so well, but a lot of big things this past weekend. The NBA started up finally, so that was a lot that was going on, and we'll dive right into it. We'll go straight into the NFL. Colts and Bills, our local team here, the Indianapolis Colts, destroying the Bills, as we talked about.
They unleashed, didn't they? If you can't beat Derek Anderson and even that Buffalo Bills defense is, as everybody, it's kind of been lauded around. Well, at least amongst the media folks. If you listen to Coach or you listen to Andrew Buck, they always compliment Buffalo by their defense. But, you know, they have a horrible quarterback situation currently. But yeah, they handle business. And if you know what, if Brandon, I mean, they didn't even make it close, right? So, but if they did, like, oh my God, the skepticism would still be riding high. And it's still going to be some skepticism because, you know, that's Buffalo's half a team. Buffalo should be looking at, you know, the quarterback talent coming out of college next season. So, Colts handle business. You can't take that away. The Colts handle business, and they got to handle business coming up on the Raiders on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the Colts played really well. And, you know, I mean, if you look at the stat-wise, Marlon Mack, finally, welcome back. 19 carries, 126 yards rushing and a touchdown. And he had two catches for 33 yards and a touchdown. So Marlon Mack was back, and he was on my bench in fantasy, which I had him in my lineup and took him out. So bad news on me. But Andrew Luck, yeah, John, he only threw for 156 yards, but it was four touchdowns that he threw for. And if you look in the league, and Colin Cowherd even said it today, Andrew Luck's number two in passing touchdowns, sneakily.
Yeah.
So
if this team turned around the next three games and going into some weaker teams, you know, feed on the bottom feeders and, you know, build your confidence and build your team up.
Yeah, we talked about the offensive line over the summer, and, you know, they haven't allowed a sack of Andrew Luck in over 130 pass attempts. So is it the offensive line's doing its job, or is Luck just being smarter in checking down and getting rid of it?
Well, credit to you, because nobody's really talking about that. Everybody's talking about receivers dropping the ball. Can the running backs run the ball? Are we getting torched in the back? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. But nobody's talking about the fact that Andrew Luck, you know, staying upright for the most part and not taking a whole lot of punts and a whole lot of hits. So I think, you know, to answer your question, I think it's a combination of both. So the offensive line is something you can want, from a fantasy standpoint, I'm talking about this past summer, you could want Saquon Barkley to come here and play for the Colts. But what did the actual team need? Team needed for not the quarterback to get hurt, right? And the quarterback got hurt, and then the backup even took a whole lot of punishment last year, which a couple of percent. So for the Colts to have somewhat of a, you know, I understand that we still want to run the ball effectively. We haven't run the ball efficiently, rather, I should say. But the quarterback is clean, tight, and upright, and vertical. You know what I mean? That's kind of what we wanted. So,
yeah. If you look at the and they got an easy, I feel like an easy one this week. They go to Oakland, take on the Raiders. They just traded Amari Cooper yesterday to the Cowboys and got a first-round pick, which I congrats to Gruden for getting a first-round pick for Amari. The fact that Cleveland only got a fifth round for Josh Gordon. Ugh.
Are you going to trade Carr, too? I'm just throwing it out there. You going to trade Carr, too? Might as well.
I think I think they need to. The fact that they're not too happy that he was crying after he got hit on one of the times a couple weeks ago, you might as well get rid of him, even though he said they're not, which means I guess they will, right?
Like, this has been the most unprecedented. This is an unprecedented amount of trades ever for the NFL. It's not, I know it's not the feeling of NFL trades. It's not necessarily like the feel of the NBA trade, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most the NFL trades they've had. I think it's like.
Hey, you know what I found that was interesting with the Mac trade and now the Cooper trade. Both of those players were under the same agent in Oakland. Both of them had the same agent. So I think, and there's two more players there that have the same agent that those guys had. So maybe Gruden doesn't like that agent and he wants to get rid of all those players.
That's a possibility. And, you know, he's been empowered to, you know, have a my way or the highway type of attitude. And I guess you have to kind of, you know, respect ownership in that aspect of their backing the coach. That's what I'm trying to say, man. That's probably next week's story, Brandon. And I guess we're ahead of the curve. They got to
yeah.
trade David Carr. Well, the trade deadline's coming up, I think. They
Tuesday, next
Carr.
Tuesday.
How much can you get? I'm like, what can you know in this day and age for a quarterback that can throw and it's I don't want to put David Carr in the elite category now. I think a lot of times we bandy around the word elite and good and great too much. Again, is Tom Brady great? Is Tom Brady great? Absolutely. Is what David Carr can do on a day that when you don't have a quarterback play like or you have some less than stellar quarterback play like in Jacksonville or somewhere like that. I don't want to call them out, but they just do currently or even New York. You know what I'm saying? But what could you get for David Carr?
Oof.
In return,
I don't.
You know what I mean? What could you get? You know what I mean? I think you can get you a nice little haul for David Carr.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what he needs to do. If you can trade Carr, get yourself a fourth round pick. You've already got three first round picks, and you're going to call me crazy, but there's a quarterback that's sitting out there in free agency right now that would probably fit in pretty well in Oakland and go into Vegas, and that's Colin Kaepernick.
Man, Colin Kaepernick's done playing football.
I don't think he is.
He's done playing football.
Somebody, I'll tell you a team that in Jacksonville, they need to bring him down there. That experiment's over.
I don't know. He hasn't had reps. He hasn't had who knows how good a shape Colin Kaepernick.
You don't know that. He could be having private reps. What else is out there? You can't tell me you're going to sit there and go with Carr the whole time.
That's what I'm saying, dude. They're going to have to trade him.
So you trade him, you get a draft pick, and then who do you go with? Why not give him a shot? See if he's got anything. You've got nothing to lose.
Nah, Gruden's gonna be looking at quarterback film tape for ESPN. That's gonna be a heavy crown because you know what? He's gained a reputation. Correct me if I'm wrong for being a quarterback. I have an eye for a quarterback, right?
Yep.
A straight eye for a quarterback, right? And what if he gets it wrong? What if he gets it wrong? You know
well,
what I mean?
Then.
So, because you know these quarterbacks. Let's talk about the latest one, Trubisky or Watson. And they're close in their capability and what they bring to the table. You know what I mean? Watson plays on the edge, and that's what kind of gives. I think that's what gave Chicago a scare because he had already had, knee injuries, and he's also prone to physical contact. Like he plays, he wants the contact. So, you know, but like next year, I don't think next year. I mean, there's gonna be some talent that comes out, but it ain't on that level. So
rank
know, the
these
curve,
if you were starting a team tomorrow. If you were starting a team tomorrow, and I'm gonna give you these three quarterbacks, I want you to rank them 1, 2, and 3. Where would you have them?
I'm starting a team tomorrow. I might have to go to Fu Bosa since he called Ohio State to lose this past weekend. But go ahead.
These are all NFL quarterbacks already. So you have Deshaun Watson. okay. Mitch Trubisky, and Carson Wentz, because this is right now Nick Foles is a better player than Carson Wentz, in my opinion. I think Carson Wentz is overrated.
If you take away that he's not 100, he's not 100%.
Then why is he out there? They were doing fine without him.
Yeah, they're gonna. I mean, that's gonna be a hard look in the mirror because right now.
Because right now he's overrated.
Right,
I would
now,
pick.
You wouldn't take Carson Wentz.
He would be third.
He was on the MVP level before the ACL tear.
Well, I would take Deshaun Watson. So was Deshaun Watson before he got hurt. He was tearing it up.
Yeah.
And then he went down.
And you know that's what scares me the most, man, because he's got a small. I feel like you know he has a small window because he has he's injury prone and he's also injury looking to get injured more.
Yeah, John, I hate to say it, but to me, the quarterback position, you can almost throw anybody out there, and they should be able to do well, because if Brock Osweiler could still go into games and win them, then I mean, he beat the Bears, okay? He beat the Chicago Bears, this defense that was number one in the league, and beat them.
They were. And the Bears were at one point number one in their division, and they have slid. They have slid
yeah.
terrible. And Detroit has actually, I believe, surpassed them because now, lo and behold, remember if you recall, like week one, we didn't think Detroit was ready to play football, if you recall, and now they've actually beat some teams. They beat the Patriots.
Yeah, if we look at the NFC North. The Vikings are 4-2-1. Green Bay's 3-2-1. Detroit's 3-3. And actually, the Bears are last right now in the division, 3-3.
Because Detroit beat Green Bay.
Yep.
And the Bears lost to Green Bay. So, you know, there's a whole lot of football. I know we're patting our backs on mediocrity, but there's a whole lot of more football left. And I know the Colts would take 3-3 right now. I know they would. Because 3-3, I think 3-3 in the South Division has you leading, right?
Yeah. Do you have a problem with Mike Vrabel for the Titans going for two at the end of the game there against the Chargers?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Say one more time.
They went for a 2-point conversion at the end of the game instead of the extra point to go to overtime. They went for two in the win. Do you have a problem with them doing that?
No. Go for the win. You go for the win.
Because they did it a couple weeks ago, and they won. And everybody called him a hero, and, yeah, this is the type of coach you want. And now they're crucifying him.
Well. Yeah. I don't know.
I like him.
It's always what you should have did anyway.
Yep. Bears Patriots 38-31. Trubisky just needs to throw that ball a little bit further. Kevin White stopped at the 1 yard line. Don't look now. Patriots 5-2. Don't say I called it. The world was not falling down. They did that without Gronk.
You need to say that about the Steelers and your rants from the past, man.
I will. I've got them on my sheet. I've got them on my sheet here.
Major list.
Yeah, Texans and Jaguars, John. Talk to me about the Jaguars and this mess that they're in right now. This team's fighting with each other.
They're fighting with each other. They're not getting along. Everybody's not on the same page. I guess it wasn't as easy as it was last year. It wasn't like they breezed through the season last year. So I'm talking about from a win loss standpoint. That's what I mean.
Opens it up for the Colts quick.
They got embarrassed. They got embarrassed by Dallas. I mean, they're not on the same page. They might have to go player. You know, they might have to do a players only. I always get tickled when I hear about players only meetings. But yeah,
Tell me if you see this scenario. Tom Coughlin calls up that players only meeting, says, "Hey, you guys have your players only meeting," and that happens this week. They play this weekend, which I don't even know who they play. Let me take a look. They play the Eagles, so it's a home game against the Eagles, and it's in London. So, you tell me this: by the time they get back into the United States and Tom Coughlin gets to his desk by Monday night, Tuesday morning, Eli Manning, Britt comes down there, ends up being the Jaguars quarterback.
Nah, that's not, that trade's not going to happen either.
I don't know. Don't say never. Eli's name got brought up today.
I can't see that trade happening.
They asked the coach point blank today, Shermer, and he goes, well, I can't tell you yes or no. I can't tell you now if Eli will be our quarterback, will be on this team next week or not. If he's saying that and not just killing it, say Eli's our quarterback, he's on our team, what does he know as well that we don't, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. This is the NBA. That would make more sense because, you know, return. But
yeah.
That'd be a little bit difficult to be trading Eli Manning without, like, during the summertime, I thought, because you got the draft, you know, I mean, you use your picks and whatever other assets you might have. But right now, a trade between them and Jacksonville, I just don't know how they can work out.
Okay. Well, the good news is the trade deadline's at 4 o'clock next Tuesday, and our show's at 7, so we'll have to recap whatever the hell happens. Looking at some of the other games, the Vikings destroy the Jets, we thought. The Panthers, 21 points in the fourth quarter. They beat the Eagles. Cam Newton, oof. This Philly team is struggling, and I think they'll get it together, but the Super Bowl hangover.
They're going to get together to make it a wild card. That's what they got to get together to do, because right now they're almost behind the eight ball.
Yeah. The Buccaneers win in overtime against the Browns. Browns' fourth game now this season in overtime. And now you're telling me this Hugh Jackson, head coach of the Browns, in his press conference throws Todd Haley under the bus and says, well, some things offensively needs to change, and I'm going to take over the helm and have a lot more say in it. Hello, Hugh. Haven't you been in charge of the offense the last couple of years and you've won one game out of 31 games? Todd Haley is taking a team to the Super Bowl in the Arizona Cardinals. Todd Haley has won regular season games. Todd Haley is not the problem. Maybe it's you, Hugh Jackson. Maybe you need to be gone.
Yeah, ownership loves him or something. They keep on giving him chance after chance after chance. And I don't know. I keep on saying every year he's going to get fired. Every year he's there. But, you know,
Todd Haley's a good coach.
Todd Haley's a fair coach.
He's taking the team to a Super Bowl. And you know what? That team was all offense, too. So telling Hugh Jackson, yes, telling the reporters that the offense has a problem and he needs to take it over. When Todd Haley was the offensive, now I understand there's pieces there, Bell, Brown, Roethlisberger, but the average rank for Todd Haley's offense while in Pittsburgh was 6th. Okay, that was for all for those years, like 4 straight years.
Gotcha.
For Hugh Jackson, for a 4-year span as well as the offensive coordinator or in charge of the offense, 31st. I want to see Todd Haley probably cross that table, smack him one.
Oh wow! Well, I don't think there anyway.
I think Hugh gets fired next Monday. Pittsburgh beats him this weekend, and that's all she's got. That's a wrap.
They're gonna be having their field. Well, we'll see. Put him on the watch.
Yep. Saints and Ravens. Saints win 24-23. Mr. Reliable Justin Tucker misses a extra point. Who's never missed an extra point in his career. Just shanks it.
It's been the worst season for kickers ever.
Oof. Yeah, your boy Adam Vinatieri missed a lot. Injured probably, but still.
Yeah, it's been the worst season ever for kickers.
The best keep winning. The Rams, 7-0. Cakewalk, 39-10 victory over the 49ers, 7-0.
They're the team of destiny.
I saw your tweet. I saw your tweet about the Rams.
They have to beat the ones that beat the Patriots. They have to. It makes sense, Brandon. I don't want to future talk too much, but it makes sense. Remember, the Patriots is the one that beat the Rams and started this whole Patriots massacre in the first place.
Yep.
Anyway,
oh, yeah,
that's a topic for another time.
Your boys down in Jerry's World are in trouble. Lose 20-17 after kind of a horseshit call.
It was fool's gold last week. Performance, it was against the dysfunctional Jacksonville Jaguars. We hate one another.
Yeah, but the penalty was Bush League. Like, the guy, the long snapper, he has snapped that way game after game after game, and he even told the refs, hey, this is how, and the refs said, okay. He didn't do anything wrong, and the refs called that 5-yard penalty, and the dude that kicked it, shit, he could have hit from 65 because that thing conged off that upright so loud.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
Shopping. They went out shopping this week. We'll see what happens when they bring in.
Yep.
Super in
Kansas City Chiefs and the Bengals are who we thought they were. The Bengals lose again, 4-3. The Chiefs just destroy. They are a scary team. Mahomes now figures out that he could run, and Andy Reid has got that college offense where it's option one, option two, option three, option four, which is what Mahomes did in Texas Tech, which is perfect for him. I just wonder if Andy Reid needs to scale down the playbook and put all his weapons out there just yet, all his plays, because you might need those in the playoffs. Because you know how Andy Reid is in the playoffs.
Yeah, I was very skittish. I was a little worried about them trying to run the score up. Like, obviously, you're playing an inferior. Well, you were already up enough on the Bengals to the day he said he was still playing, you know, bloodthirsty, you know, football. Like, let's try to get another touchdown, you know. And that's it. So I do have, and then to your point, I do have pause concern because it is Andy Reid. And like I said, he gets a little skittish with him after his team takes a couple losses that they say against teams who they're expected to beat and then, you know, it seems like he panics going into the playoffs or during the playoff moment. So, but he's got, man, Mahomes, he's MVP up there.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be a candidate for sure. That team is real scary so long as he's in front of it.
John, I wanted to pull my hair out Sunday night because, you know, a nice friendly wager of betting the over in the game. And the over, just so everybody knows at home, is 56.5 points. And I took the over, and it's 45-10 Kansas City. So it's 55. So we're 1.5 away from the over. And Kansas City gets the ball. It's 4th-and-3 from the 3-yard line with 3 minutes to go. And instead of taking the kicking team out just to kick the field goal, they run the ball going for a touchdown. I don't understand it. The over does not hit. I miss on my bet. I have never been more. Andy Reid should be investigated by the NFL. Because I guarantee he is gambling as well, and he must have took the under. That's the only way to explain it.
Oh, wow.
I want an investigation, full investigation. And then last and not least, the Falcons 23-20 win over the Giants. My God, that Giants play calling. Ugh. Like, Eli trying to sneak it in twice? What the heck? You got Saquon Barkley in the backfield. Give him the ball.
Yeah, you know, again, everybody's not on the same page.
Well, you better get on the same page.
It's time for Eli Manning to go, though. I will.
Well, I tried to tell you he should be going to Jacksonville or giving it up. So, not to be remiss if I wouldn't say it, but I think the team that had the best weekend of all didn't even play. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers with the Ravens, the Bengals, well, and the Browns, I guess, because all three teams AFC North lose. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are on top of the AFC North, rightfully where they belong once again. But we're missing Le'Veon Bell. Where the hell is he at? He was supposed to be here this week. Still not back. So that drama will continue as we go on to the next week. So speaking of the next week, looking at some matchups for the next week, I do not, John, plan on watching the Thursday night football game. You've got the Dolphins and the Texans. I will pass on that one. Other good. You're going to watch it? You're going to watch that game?
Yeah, I'll watch it. It'll be on.
Sunday morning, London, you've got the Eagles and the Jags. Should be interesting. The Jaguars, just so you know, are undefeated when they play in London. So for all you bettors out there, undefeated when they play in London. Jets and Bears. Bears got a chance to get back on their winning ways again. Steelers and Browns from Pittsburgh this time. It will not be a tie. Pittsburgh will dominate in this one and win. We talked about the Colts and Colts and Raiders, excuse me. Another barn burner of a game, the 1-6 Niners and the 1-6 Cardinals. That'll be a great game on Fox at 4:25 in the afternoon. One game I think is sneaky good this week is going to be the Packers going to the Rams. Aaron, I think it could be a high-scoring shootout game on both sides.
I think the Green Bay Packers are going to get blown out.
Ooh, okay. Your Sunday night football, Saints at Vikings. We'll see what happens there. I think Drew Brees has yet to throw an interception all season.
You know, so, the Saints aren't necessarily fool's gold, but I'm not buying it just yet.
And your Monday night football, the New England Patriots go to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Pull out the tables, the Buffalo Bills.
No way.
Oh, they're going to get destroyed. They'll get destroyed. Trust me. Bills will. Looking next, John.
Put Peterman back out there.
Oh no. Oh, I don't know if you could put Peterman back out. We'll dive into the college football. And I'd be remiss if I didn't start with the fight song. The Boilermakers.
Man, that was not a spoiler. That was a beatdown.
Total beatdown.
Nobody saw it coming. Not even for real. No, not even the Boilers. They didn't see this coming. Nobody saw that coming. And
I did.
Stop.
And I'll tell you how I did. Not from our pick'ems, because I should have. But in my sports gambling, I took Purdue plus the 13.5, and I took the over, which was 68.5. And my God, I wasn't going to hit the over at all. And then the fourth quarter came and it totally hit. There was only one person that saw it coming, truly. And that was Tyler Trent, who was the the Purdue student, cancer patient, who predicted the call. He had a great piece that was on College Game Day, beautifully done. He went to the game. I actually, John, got to talk to him for about 15, 20 minutes in the media room after the game on Saturday night. And I'll tell you this, I've seen a lot of people. I've met a lot of people. I have never met somebody as strong as him and as positive as him, because I know if it was me, there is no way I could be as positive he is. And that to me, that was very eye opening, and I have all the love and respect for him for that. And he'll fight that battle with cancer. And, you know, he called it, John. That was an amazing night. I was down on the football field for the game. I went out there. Say what?
I said it was pandemonium.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I posted videos up on the sites. First 3.5 quarters, I was out there, and then about 6 minutes to go in the game, me and another media member, two other media members, went down to the field in the end zone. And it was electric. I've had goosebumps. Even going back and watching the videos again, I still get the goosebumps from the pick six and from Rondale Moore just breaking away from that tackle where he almost put him in, thrown on the ground. DJ Knox, 3 rushing touchdowns. I talked to him after the game. The kid's got a good heart head on his shoulders. He had a fifth-year senior, he was running. I told him, I said, not even 11 guys could tackle you, man. I said, it's going to take about 20 Ohio State guys. Now, One thing I saw that was interesting, John, and listen to all these Ohio State fans is, and I don't know if you've got any that you know or you've talked to, but it's very interesting now that they're starting to turn face. Well, maybe stupid Urban Meyer and they didn't get the guys ready and the Ohio State should have fired him at the beginning of the season. They're starting to use that excuse now. I heard plenty of it this weekend. Well, Urban, they should have just got rid of him at the beginning of the season. Now they're turning about face.
Who's coming back? The sweater vest coming back?
No, the guy that was in charge already. Before Urban Meyer's the second best coach on that team, apparently they're saying.
Wow. This little setback for Ohio State. Because they can still get back in the national championship title picture, can they not? They just got to beat Michigan because they're gonna fly. Okay.
They need help. I think.
We're gonna talk about that. There's gonna be all kind of help coming.
Let me give you a scenario because you said they control their own destiny, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so not this week, but next week, Alabama gets beat by LSU, and LSU wins the SEC as well. Goes on, wins the SEC game. So you have Clemson, you've got Notre Dame, you've got LSU. Are you going to tell me they're going to choose to put in Ohio State over Alabama? A one-loss Alabama team? I don't think so.
Ohio State has to beat Michigan.
Then they need more than that. They need some other losses. That's my opinion. I think Ohio State needs some extra losses because...
Brandon, think. On the way... Before they play one another, Michigan is going to beat Penn State.
Yep.
Matter of fact, if Penn State plays Iowa, that's going to be a telling game right there. If Iowa beats Penn State, because Iowa's only 6-1. Well, actually, Iowa's undefeated in the Big Ten. Ha-ha. And they don't have. They don't really have it after Penn State. I don't think they have I don't think they have a tough schedule. I don't believe so. I have to double check.
I just don't see them keeping Alabama out and putting Ohio State in.
There was a big. They cried their way in last year. Alabama.
They didn't. So what makes you think they wouldn't do it again?
Because the Big Ten is a little bit better this year, is it not? Let's put our cards on the table. The Big Ten
No.
is a little bit better. The Big Ten is not better when Northwestern and Purdue are beating teams they're not supposed to beat.
Well, if you look at all the standings and the rankings, it shows the SEC is the best conference.
Of course, it's gonna say because it's bias.
Yeah, there we have it.
The SEC bias, man. You know that.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm just going off of that is how I'm ranking them.
Think about it. Who could Kentucky beat? Seriously. Besides
in the
Rutgers,
Big Ten?
Besides Rutgers. Could they beat Penn State?
Maybe. If it's at Kentucky.
Oh, wow. That's blasphemous.
Penn State's not good, John.
Maybe not good this year.
Could Kentucky beat Illinois? Yes. Could they beat Rutgers? Yes. Could they beat Nebraska? Yes. Could they beat IU? Probably. Yeah. At Kentucky, yes.
You never know. You know, IU is so Jekyll and Hyde. IU is the same team. This is the same IU team that beat Virginia.
Yeah.
But Virginia's in ACC beating teams they're not supposed to beat, right? I think Virginia just beat Miami this past weekend. And I don't understand how IU team wishes to show up.
Well, they just lost another one of their quarterbacks to a torn ACL injury.
They did. That's unfortunate, but I don't know. LSU, outside of LSU, Georgia, Alabama, I put the Big Ten up against any other SEC schools.
You've got Kentucky.
He ain't got it together down there in Texas yet.
You've got Kentucky. You've got Florida, and you got Georgia. That's three teams just from the East. In the West, you've got Bama, LSU, and then I guess Texas A&M. I think A&M would beat over quite a bit of those Big Ten teams.
Florida is going to lose its spot in the AP Top 25. They're going to lose their spot to you at UCF. You watch.
I don't see how. They're sitting at number 9 right now. They'd have to lose two games in a row, I think, to get knocked out.
Again, they're not. That team's not that good. I don't believe Florida. This ain't the Florida we grew up on.
Yeah. Let me put this in your ball cap for a minute. Tell me what you thought of this. Now you're going to talk about craziness since you're talking about.
Four teams are
the
Bama,
Big Ten
right now: Bama, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Clemson. Those are my top
four teams. Yep, I agree.
Those are my top four teams. LSU, after they play Bama, they'll figure that out. But Michigan, if Michigan beats Ohio State, they're in. That's another feather in Harbaugh's cap. And he'd definitely be getting to the national championship game. Well, one of them.
Yeah, we'll see. Sneaky play here, the Purdue Boilermakers for the Big Ten championship. They are – Purdue is tied. They're 3-1 in the conference in the Big Ten West with Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Iowa. They're all three – all four teams are 3-1. Well, Northwestern's 4-1, but still.
Here's the thing. Are they going to be able to play with that same kind of effort and the same kind
I hope
of-
so.
Yeah,
I hope so. They've turned it around. Their offense is very much clicking. The defense showed up. If you just keep showing them that same tape, yeah. Now, obviously, you just had a huge game, very emotional, a Saturday night game. Now you're going to go up to Michigan State, East Lansing, for a 12 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. That's going to be tough.
On lay egg, yeah. It's going to be real tough.
Yeah, you've got Northwestern and Wisconsin. They play each other this week. And then you've got Purdue taking on Iowa, and then you've got Purdue taking on Wisconsin. If Purdue wins out, they're in the Big Ten championship. It's that simple. They control their own destiny.
Brandon, hey, this is a nice story, but they can't
beat
Wisconsin.
I know. I'm just giving you that shot.
I got you. In back-to-back week, Wisconsin and Iowa, I can't give them that.
This is the same Wisconsin team that lost to BYU, remember? And BYU just got slaughtered by 40 points a couple weeks ago.
I'm bringing up that BYU loss, man. It's 100 years ago.
Hey, that just – it's possible. I'm just bringing it out there to you. Looking – let's see. The AP's got Texas at number 6
overrated.
Overall.
Overrated. Thank you.
They're
going to lose. They still got to play. Still got to play Oklahoma, don't they?
No, they already played Oklahoma State. They have to play. Yes.
Okay.
So, speaking of such, if you look back at our picks from this past weekend, both of us went 4-2. Our losses were the Ball State Cardinals and then Ohio State. We've both got Michigan, Penn State, Clemson, and LSU. So, good week for us. Both of us are sitting at 36-16. We've got a 7-game slate for this week. Start now with Ball State 3-5 visiting Ohio 4-3.
Dude, I'm not going against Ball State. I'm going Ball State.
You're going Ball State. I'm going Ohio. I can't do it. I can't go with Ball State anymore. If they're going to sit there and lose those games that they should win, I ain't going to fool with them.
All right.
Purdue, 4-3, going to East Lansing. 4-3, Michigan State. Who you got?
And emotions is one thing. And playing at home is one thing. I got to go with Michigan State.
Maybe Purdue should step on the middle of the field like the Michigan player did. I'm going to go Purdue on this one. I think they're going to ride it high one more week. Boilermakers, knocking off Sparty. The Indiana Hoosiers 4-4 traveling to Minnesota 3-4. I'm gonna take the Hoosiers in this one.
I got the Hoosiers in this one as well.
Hoosiers gonna get a good bounce back. Number 19 Iowa 6-1 traveling to Happy Valley taking on Penn State. Iowa and Penn State, who you got?
I like Iowa.
Ooh.
They're gonna try.
You're gonna take. You're going to take Iowa, and I'm going to take Penn State. Happy Valley, James Franklin, he gets it done. Number six, Texas, traveling to Stillwater, taking on Oklahoma State. Who you got?
I don't believe in Texas. I'm going to Oklahoma State.
Woo! Going with Oklahoma State. We go to the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Number 11, this will be in Jacksonville. Number 11, well, not 11 now, but number 9, Florida, 6-1 against number 7, Georgia, 6-1.
Georgia gets the
I got the Bulldogs as well. And Navy, 2-5, comes and takes on number 3, Notre Dame. I've got the Irish. I'm assuming you've got the Irish as well.
Is Navy going to, they're going to do nothing but rushing plays and running back plays?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's going to be a horrible game. Notre Dame.
I mean, it's pretty easy now the rest of the way for them. So,
we'll see about Notre Dame's schedule. We'll see. They got some nail biters. This year,
yeah.
But they got some nail
biters. Before we go to the NBA, we'll stick to the college ranks real quick. The latest AP Top 25 came out for college basketball starting up here next week. The first exhibition games start up next week. And then we have the Champions Classic will take place over here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, and Michigan State will all be playing. If you look at the Top 25, they've got Kansas, number one team in the country. Kentucky at 2, and then you got Gonzaga, and then Duke. I don't understand how Duke's not number one. To me, they've got they have the best recruiting class. They got the best players. They should be the number one team in the country.
Yeah, but those guys are kind of young, so that's kind of why they're not looking at Duke. But I don't remember Kansas. Kansas number one. I have to look at that roster.
I mean, are they getting something number one as this report comes out from the Supreme Court about taking money and all this?
You know, like, all that is unfortunate noise and unfortunate. It you know, I'm kind of split. I'll be honest with you. I kind of split on, you know, like, if the kids should get paid to go to school or if the kids should be able to turn pro. So I'm kind of split on my, you know, like what should happen.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, like, you know, when you try to pay a kid to go to a public university, it can be exploited. So, and it's technically it is cheating. So, I just hope that, I mean, it's bleeding into the next. It started like last season, it's bleeding to this season. I just want it to be over with because it's like noise, you know. To me, that's what it is, like noise.
Right.
College basketball, college football is big business. It's not little business like it used to be in, you know, whenever it first started. If it was little business in the first place, you know what I mean? But now it's bigger business and everybody wants a piece and everybody kind of got their hand out. So,
yeah,
you know, quite honestly, if somebody shows up to you, if I was a star athlete and somebody showed up to my door, you know what I'm saying, on a daily, not just one person, two or three people showed up and said, hey, man, come over here. Here's $40,000 in a bag. Oh, my God, what are you supposed to do? Turn it down? I don't know. but I do know, you know, these things are, you know, saying affects your amateur status and can be seen as exploitive or can be seen to use college athletes to, you know, to fix games or whatever. So they have to be, you know, you can't have it. Things, it can't be tolerated, you know what I mean?
Right. A shock to me in the top 10 was Tennessee coming in at number 6 and Nevada at 7. Now I know it's just preseason ranks, but I've bought my preseason book, my Lindy's College Sports Basketball, all the team previews. So I'll be going through that and
well, Barnes,
brushing
yeah,
up
Rick
for
Barnes,
my bracketology.
Yeah, Rick Barnes is running in Tennessee now. I do believe.
Yeah.
And they made the Sweet 16 last year.
They did.
Yeah. So yeah, that makes sense for Tennessee. I kind of keep watch Tennessee. They always disappoint though.
Yeah, they've got the Vols finishing second in the SEC right now. Kentucky at one, and then Tennessee at two. So their prediction is the Vols go to the Elite Eight this year. So they lost James Daniel III and Chris Darrington. That wasn't that much, 7 points a game combined for those two. So all their main guys are back. They should have a good squad there. Rick Barnes has been there 3 years. So I got to brush up on my my NCAA book here soon for my bracketology stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Three Big Ten teams were ranked in the top 25. Michigan State comes in at 10, Michigan at 19, and the Purdue Boilermakers coming in at number 24. The Hoosiers did get some votes, sitting at 27th or 28th, excuse me. So we'll see. I'm not sure how long Purdue will stay in there, but.
Press boys just want to see how you play before they rank them.
Yeah.
Purdue should be fine. I know they lost a lot. Lost a lot in leadership. Lost a lot in, you know, in seniors. But they got a lot. They got the younger guys are now older, but they also have a lot of youth that came in this year. So.
Yeah.
24. You're right. I don't know how long they'd be floating around 24, 25 all year.
I did watch their practice on Saturday before the game. So if those bigs can continue to work with Harms and the other some of the other bigs they've brought in, they should be pretty good. Just a matter if that assistant coach there with them that works with those bigs can get the job done. I seen a mug that's floating around with his basketball picture on there. I don't know if you saw that I sent you.
Yeah, I saw that mug. I'm sure Brandon has every last one that was ever made. Besides the ones he gave to his parents, but yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, what else I got? Oh, the preseason All-Americans were named today, and Purdue's Carson Edwards did make the list. We'll see how he does. The load's going to be on to him this year for that team. But real quick, receiving votes. Indiana was well represented. You had Purdue in the rankings. Indiana received votes. Notre Dame received 22 votes. Butler received 6 votes. So the four major squads here in Indiana, they all are well represented at the top 25 poll. So good to see.
Right.
Switching over to the NBA, we've got a 1 week in the books now, John, and it's been the wildest week in the NBA I've ever seen. Pacers, not too bad so far. There's a few things that need to be fixed, I think, and I think they know it as well. The turnovers, that absolutely needs to get fixed. They're averaging right now 15 a game. McMillan said he did want to get it down to 10. The free throw shooting is terrible. 65% through four games is what the Pacers are shooting. Opponents are shooting 76%. That's what's going to end up winning you ball games. And Depot needs to improve on him. Depot is shooting 50% from the free throw line. He is leading the team at 21.5 points. Sabonis averaging a double-double, 11 and 11. And Miles Turner, once again, you probably saw my Twitter, quit shooting threes. You worked your whole summer getting that big-ass body of yours prepared for this, and you're shooting threes. You are 2 of 8 shooting threes. Last night was tough.
Trying to show his skill level, his range.
John, I turned in the game in the fourth quarter. They were winning. I turned it back 15 minutes later, and they were getting blown out by 15.
Yeah, the Pacers, I mean, it's still early. It's still early.
It is.
The turnovers is the one thing that does concern me. Because playing with a smaller team and wanting to play faster, I think that's what they're kind of running into the issue. They said they wanted to play faster for like the last 6 years.
Right.
And now that you are playing faster, I think this might be some of the result. You're going to have more. Well, you're going to have more propensity to have more turnovers. So, I think the free throws. It's not something I'm concerned. I think it'll self fix itself. If I think it'll fix itself as the season progresses, But they got to run. They got to run. You know, again, if you're constantly running and chucking and going up and down, then you know what I'm saying, the odds of you getting fouled on a jump shot are slim than if you're going to the basket. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think it'll be something that fixes that. It is something that fixes though, the free throws. But the turnovers is something that they need to think about.
What was your thoughts on the Rondo and Chris Paul fight? God, we're only the first weekend and they're already brawling.
There are so many takes. One, so thinking about the two combatants, the two guys who actually fight. A lot of folks, everybody's first. That didn't disgust me, but it just makes me shake my head at people's thought process. So the fight breaks out between Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul, and then automatic response either through ESPN media or guess what, Brandon, like regular people with social media, everybody saying, well, "What did LeBron do?" Well, what do you mean, LeBron? What is he supposed to do? You know what I mean? So let's get back to the combatants. So we know Rajon Rondo to be a little bit off and walk his own path and do his own thing. We know this. And we know Chris Paul to be, I mean, some people call him dirty. Didn't he knock somebody? He hit somebody in the groin.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. He did it one time. I think he did it one time at Georgia Tech too. But they both play on the edge and, you know, they kind of met. They kind of interest. They had a meeting of the minds, and of course their minds didn't get along too well. So, but
Rondo spitting,
and then you know Chris Paul made it a physical. You know,
Chris Paul is soft. Okay, I think Chris Paul is soft.
Paul soft?
He is soft.
I would say.
I think Ron in a real fight. I think Rondo would have whooped his ass.
I don't know about that. I don't think either one of those guys are actually fighters. I think what they, you know what I'm saying, you know, guys, it's a big time game. So fans should be able, for one, just appreciate that. These guys, for a lot of times people say these guys don't care and they're all friends outside of playing up and down the court. That's not friendly. They're not friends. Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul aren't friends. They clearly like one. Please don't like respect one another. So, if I'm a fan of basketball, period, I'm not necessarily a fan of those particular teams, but I'm a fan. I want them to play in the playoffs. I want the Lakers to play a 2-7 matchup against Houston.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get real chippy. It's going to get real personal. It's going to get real, you know, emotional, real drama filled, like NBA fans want. So So going back to the Lakers, I know they're 0-3. There's no reason to panic. They're on an 0-3 record, first 2 weeks of the season start. If I'm a Laker fan or if I'm a fan of basketball, like I said, hit the panic button when you've only won 5 games and you play 20. Okay, that's when you got to start thinking, hey, maybe our pieces don't fit. Hey, maybe, you know. But I quite honestly think, Brandon, that LeBron, now, I think he's got a good enough roster to get to anywhere from 6 to 8 in the West. Okay, anywhere from 6 to 8, that's where they lie at. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he knows that they might not make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think he's concerned making the playoffs this year. He'd take a year off, rest his body.
Take a year off, and you know, like I know, like I'm talking about, you know, like I know, like he knows. There's going to be so much money that can go around, and I know this. I heard a rumor about Kevin Durant entertaining New York. That's laughable. That would be laughable. That would be laughable coming to New York. But I mean, there's going to be money bandied about and thrown about, you know, between New York. I even think the woeful Atlanta Hawks will throw some money around to some of the free agents that will be out there next week. I don't know if they'll get any. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of money. But there's only going to be so much money that Golden State can offer to keep that team together.
Yeah. I think I think LeBron's content with them not making the playoffs this year. If they don't make it, they don't make it. That's fine with him. It rests his legs for the next season when they get some more pieces in. I'd be watching Luke Walton here in the first 10 games. If they only win 3 out of their first 10, Walton could get fired pretty quickly. And no. Their coach for the rest of the season will be Brian Shaw. I like Brian Shaw. I wish he was the Pacers coach back then.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher why Brian Shaw is kind of like, you know.
I know you're a Shaw fan too.
I like Brian Shaw.
Can't you see him taking over the Lakers if they fire Walton?
If they fire Walton, I can see that being the guy that succeeded. You know, Brian Shaw, a lot of people, I don't know, he must not necessarily be a good media guy, and maybe that's what, you know, it's kind of hindered him from being I've seen him in interviews here, so I can't necessarily say that. So it must be something, Brandon, that he's not getting. Brandon, this dude played with Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Not for Larry Bird. He played with Larry Bird. Okay? He played with Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. He's coached in some big-time games. So, again, why is he not a head coach?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I think this is going to be his first chance right here at the Lakers. I think Magic's going to give it a shot. I think he's going to tell Luke, hey, Luke, it's just not working out. I think after the first – by the, I'll give it 20 games. By 20 games, if Luke and them aren't producing dubs, he's going to be gone. Brian Shaw will be the fill-in coach. Go ahead and mark that down. That's my prediction.
Wow.
And to add to the Lakers – Rockets drama. I love Twitter because Rajon Rondo tonight said, everyone wants to believe Chris Paul is a good guy. They don't know he's a horrible teammate. They don't know how he treats people. And then David Morway, who's the GM of the Rockets, sends out a picture of a pot and a kettle that are both black and just sends that out.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So NBA Twitter is on fire tonight.
Man, dude, it ain't even February yet. These dudes already hate each other so like that.
Hey, speaking of the Rockets, I don't think this Carmelo situation's working out.
Yeah, it looks like the same old stuff's not working out, man.
Is there a team that he can go to that would work, or what? Does he just need to hang it up?
My personal opinion, he should have went the Dominique Wilkins and Xavier McDaniel route when they got prolific scores, right? But at the tail end of his career, you know, things kind of slowed down for him. So they just went to garbage teams and, you know, just played, you know, collect the check and play. So he should humble himself. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I would play for whoever, for whatever. It should be Carter ain't stopping. You see this, right? He's not stopping. This Carter
right.
is playing, right? But, you know, guys get this championship crap in their – it's not crap, sorry. But guys get this championship thing in their mind, and you got to have this. It's like, dude, you got to be take care of your family, and, you know, play basketball, entertain, hit some big shots, you know. Be an athlete, you know. Don't worry about who you – you know, don't worry about all the other crap. You know what I mean? Just play. So,
right.
My personal opinion, he should have just went with a team where he fit, where he could get touches. That's what he. That's what his game works upon, touches. And in this system, who gets the majority of the touches?
Harden
shoots whenever he wants. Harden shoots whenever he wants. And that's, you know, if you have a volume, two volume scorers, and one being in the latter of his career, it's not. It's going to work. It's not going to work out long term. I don't think he'll pout about it because that's what he kind of did last year, kind of sort of a little bit. But you know, it's kind of coming to the. If he's got a 1 year deal with Houston, he should just, you know, do that and then try to find somewhere that where you can be an attraction. Basically, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here's my thing with who was I going to talk about? Oh, Lakers. Did you see the game last night, or were you already asleep?
Dude, I caught the highlights. It's good to see the San Antonio Spurs just ain't necessarily done just yet. I know people.
I watched it. It was a great game.
People dog walk LeBron James for missing two free throws, and automatically LeBron. People said Michael Jordan never. Da 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 da. So and so never. You know, and I'm like, oh my god, here we go. They all. It's game three. We're already comparing Michael Jordan. But the smart ass in me was like, somebody said, you know, Michael Jordan never. And I was like, you know, Michael Jordan never in year 16. Anything. Did he?
No.
Did Michael Jordan do anything in year 16?
No.
I'm being
but,
kind of. Did he have a year 16?
I don't compare him to Michael Jordan.
My thing is, I
compare him more to Magic than I do to Jordan.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate, man. You know, he's the best basketball player right now that you ever wanted to see, right? And I get it that he's floated around, from team to team. But, like, dude, and he's the biggest loser in NBA history. But every team that he goes to gets to the finals. So why wouldn't you want to have him on your team? So stop it. Like, I don't get it. Like, when's the last time the Pacers – Brandon, when's the last time the Pacers went to the finals? We know it, 2000. That's 18 years ago.
Well, yeah.
I wanted the Pacers a long time ago to break the bank on LeBron James because he was guaranteed to get your team to the finals. Guaranteed. When he was in his prime, was he not?
Yeah.
I don't cry about who took me to the prom day if she wasn't the prettiest girl. I'm just glad I got to the prom.
I hear you, my man. By the way, Ish, you remember Ish Smith? Plays for the Pistons, or not Pistons, with Sixers. No, not Ish Smith. It's T.J. McConnell. Ish Smith's on my TV screen. T.J. McConnell he just blocked Blake Griffin. I think I've seen it all now. Couple other things. I wish LeBron would have taken it to the hole. You were down by one, and, you know, at least try to get a foul attempt. You settle for another jumper. Like, you're not down two or you're not down three. Like, take that sucker to the hole. Nobody can stop you. And if they do, then that's when you kick it. And that's what he was good at last night, was kicking those.
Yeah, he's the only one who knows why he does what he does. I sometimes when he takes those long fadeaway threes that I don't think have a chance of going in, but they go straight in, I'm like, okay, well, let's. But, like you say, when he puts his head down or up or whatever, and it's one, and he's got 1 foot in the paint, it's 2 points, or it's a foul, or it's usually 2 points.
Yeah, I just didn't get it. I've got a couple hot seat coaches for you.
I've already told you two
for one of them. Well, I told you two of the three. Luke Walton, which I told you this week. Last week, I told you Fred Hoiberg. And the Bulls are 0-3.
Absolutely.
And my third one, Billy Donovan. The Thunder are 0-3 right now. Panic button.
Wow.
They aren't even playing. They're not playing good at all. I know Westbrook was out, but he just came back the other night, and this team looks all out of sync.
Well, that's what they paid Paul George to.
Okay.
Did you pay Paul George to be the leader when Westbrook?
Yeah, sure did. Looks like they're sitting last place right now.
Man. I know a big Pacers fan last week or so. You know, compare Victor Oladipo and Paul George, and you know, I'm over that type like that. You know, Paul didn't want to be here. Victor wanted to be here. That's it. That's kind of the comparison, but that's kind of where the comparison. That's when things stop for me. But now that he re-upped, because Paul was running his mouth talking about he wanted the Lakers to trade for him. But like the Lakers didn't want to trade for him because guess what? The Pacers probably wanted a 10 U-Hauls worth for you, right?
Yeah.
So they trade for you. So he's still talking about the Lakers, and dude, you signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder to be the number two guy.
Yeah, the dude is soft.
He acquiesced. He openly acquiesced to be the number two guy when he was the number one guy here. He was
holy
the number one guy
shit. Here. Blake Griffin just dunked on three people.
Now we see why David left $14 million on the table.
Yeah. My thing about Paul George, you know, the guy cannot stand having his name. Like, he can't just – somebody talks about him on Twitter. He is so soft mentally that he has to respond to just normal people. And somebody said something about Oladipo and Tyreek Evans, and he felt like he had to respond. I bet you right now, John, if I went on Twitter and for like the next 6 days straight, I would tweet and just put Paul George in about something, he would probably respond to me.
Well, that would make you somewhat of a weirdo for bugging him like that. But yeah, no, I wouldn't have responded. But like,
because you saw the tweet, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. These guys used to respond. This is how they used to respond. They would just respond on court. If something bothered them in the press, somebody said on ESPN said somebody something negative, or Chuck or Kenny said something negative. Then the next game, they dropped 40, or they'd have a monster game, or 11 rebounds, whatever, or a double-double, or triple-double. Now they want to, like, they feel like they, like, you don't have to go, even if something, who cares if somebody has 2,000, 10,000 followers, and they said, Paul George sucked, you know what I mean, or whatever. But to your point, like, you letting small stuff, like, but you're not living up to, I just have a problem with him. Like, this is, it's not hate. It's just the fact that, like, he should, like, you ran away from leadership, and, like, now if leadership starts upon you, and you're going ghost again.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City, so. I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
When Westbrook gets back, and gets to play, I'm sure they'll get their season. I never doubt Westbrook's leadership, or I doubt Westbrook's jump shot. I don't doubt Westbrook's leadership or his heart, or the fact that he tries to do the things to get the team to win. You know, he's the kind of guy that says, okay, Paul, if you don't want to take the shot because you're out here, I'll just take all the shots. And if you can't get the rebound, I'll just get the rebounds too. You know what I mean? That's how Westbrook attacks things. They'll turn their season around. I wouldn't necessarily put – Billy Donovan is probably going to get judged, to answer your question, Brandon. He's probably going to get judged over the season, the course of the season. I can't really see them pulling the trigger on him through this season.
Okay.
At the end of the season, they'll take an evaluation. And if they didn't finish – how can they think they're going to finish in the top five of the West?
They got two superstars. Well, supposed superstars.
They got a superstar. Well, dude, that's
one and a half. And that half might be Schroeder.
You said one and a half. Let's just say this. They have two all-stars.
Yeah?
They have two all-stars. So, again, but when you're playing in the West, like, man, two all-stars, that's a snicker.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when the Thunder have got five on their roster. So, or not Thunder, but Warriors. Last two things NBA-wise. Your boy Trae Young, 17 points a game, 6 assists right now. He's holding his own right now, so shockingly. I didn't think he would. I mean, I know somebody's got to shoot it in Atlanta.
Yeah, right. They cleared out the roster for him to do so. He'll be playing with Zion Williamson next year.
And then, I guess last two things. I'm actually surprised how well the Denver Nuggets are playing. They're a sleeper team, the Nuggets. 3-0 right now. I know it's just the first week, but I like the core of that team. I know Will Barton's out with injury, but I like that core.
Yeah, Will Barton, somebody the Pacers had their eye on through agency, and he kind of walked. He kind of signed early with Denver, I do believe. What's his name from here? He went to Michigan State.
Gary Harris.
Yeah, Gary Harris lighted up out there.
Jamal Murray's doing very well.
Well, I know there was some rumors about Gary Harris going to out west, but he's out west right now. There's rumors about him going to L.A. somewhere over the summer, but no. Denver's a deep team, and they got you know, they got a lottery pick. He's probably like going to sit for a whole year, and next year, bam, he'll be out there playing with you. So
interesting. Last thing is, I tell you what, who's playing like an MVP, like they want to go out and win this MVP award, is Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. They're 4-0 with Kawhi, and he's balling out.
He's balling out. We'll see. We also do know he's in the last year of his contract, so he's got a.
Yep.
He said he wanted a max deal from a team, he wants to play for the Lakers, and I'm sure that'll get entered. You know, that'll be a whole other drama in itself. But even if Toronto, you know, they might, you know, break the bank or decide to break the bank, you know, or to try to get him to stay. I wouldn't think they'd just trade for him, not try to keep him, you know.
Right.
So
we'll see how Toronto does.
We'll see. We'll see what Toronto. Toronto still got to play. We got to see what they can do with the Pacers, of course.
Yeah, and shocking loss for Boston, losing to the Orlando Magic at home. Come on now. You should never lose to the Magic on your home court.
The Magic.
So.
Not this Magic team.
Exactly. All right. Last thing. Two things. World Series, Red Sox, Dodgers. I got the Red Sox. I think they're going to win it in 7.
I think you're correct. This is probably the best for me. I always watch. And I tell you right now, I snooze on regular season baseball for the most part the last couple of years, but I will watch the World Series. And this is probably best for them. Talking about Major League Baseball, because you got two coasts. Right, you got, you know, L.A. and you got Boston. So I think Boston is the better team from what I've gathered. You know what I'm saying? They're the more complete team. Tim Kirchner, preached a half a sermon about them this afternoon. It'll be good to see. And then, you know, now the Dodgers are finally back in it. I think they got the biggest payroll.
Yeah.
In Major League Baseball, something like that. So finally, and like they got some personalities on that squad. So all that gets to play out, man. You know, when you know what, Brandon, the uniqueness to me about the World Series is there's obviously the winner, there's obviously the loser, man. But there's always to me a feel good. Unless it's a Yankee, sorry. It's always feel good stories about either teams. And I'm just joking about the Yankees. It's feel good stories about the Yankees too when they get up there. But it's always feel good stories about either team. And you know, states and cities still pull for baseball teams. So
yeah.
The Dodgers, but you know, the Dodgers they haven't been at this point since in a long time, so I'm sure they bring out all the history books of the Fernando Valenzuela and Kirk Gibson moments that they've had
right
over the years to pull them out the vault. So it'd be good.
Absolutely. And then the last thing, I know you haven't been watching much wrestling, and you said till Roman Reigns was going to be the champ, and Roman Reigns was going to, you know, be the top guy for Vince McMahon and stuff. But Roman did announce last night he's stepping away, non-storyline, non-kayfabe. He actually has leukemia, and he's going to be away for some time. So the Universal title is back vacant again, and they turned the Shield, after they won the tag titles last night, turned him heel with Dean Ambrose attacking Seth. So, but shout out to Roman Reigns on the fighting leukemia. It sucks that cancer's back with him, but hopefully he can fight that as well. You and Tyler Trent, both two big names that are kind of fighting it. But yeah, it sucked to see that from Roman, and you can tell it shocked everybody in that arena because it got very quiet there. And then even the announcers, when they came back from commercial break, were even shocked. I was reading some articles today that they kept it very quiet and nobody knew. And everybody kind of like went running to the gorilla position area after he got back there.
Gotcha. Well, it is very unfortunate. I know those guys, I know sports entertainment, I know those guys behind the scenes work their asses off out and doing their stunts. And they get to that. You don't get to become WWE champion. I know it's a fake title, but you don't become WWE champion without a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. And it's unfortunate. He's not necessarily one of my favorites from a personality standpoint, but I do respect every wrestler that's ever taken a bump, because I enjoy watching wrestling. So you know, even the jobber guy, I appreciate the Al Snows of the world, the George Souths of the world, right? But I hope a speedy recovery for Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? Take care of business and come back. Because guess what? Everybody comes back. everybody comes back.
Oh yeah. Last thing, since it is the season and you are my entertainment / movie guy, John Birdsong, I got to know your top three Halloween movies that you enjoy, scary movies that you enjoy. Or if you got a top five. I'm going to give you three, but if you have a top five, let's hear them.
Halloween movies? Well, for one, man, I'm a little different, man. So, of course, you got to go with the original Halloween from 1979 with Michael Myers, Miguel, and Jamie Lee Curtis. So you got to go with that one. Halloween. I also like Halloween 3. It has nothing to do with the regular Halloween, but it's like.
You really like 3? I don't like 3. See, Season of Witches. I didn't like it.
It's a morality tale, dude. It's like telling you get your kids involved in stuff other than television. More than just appropriate. That's what. I'm sorry. Spoiler alert. If you have never seen 3. That's kind of what it's supposed to be. And then it's not necessarily a Halloween movie, but I watch it during this time. I watch it with my kid. My kid loves scary movies. Any of the early 80s Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
One, two, or three. Yeah, those are good movies. But scary movies. Oh man, you got to go with Saw, the first Saw.
Ooh.
There's another little movie called Trick or Treat. If nobody's ever seen it, it used to be a great blockbuster rental. called Trick or Treat. That would be those, and like I said, those would be my top five.
Okay, I'll have to check out the Trick or Treat one. I haven't seen that.
Another 20, but yeah, those would be my top five right there.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on the Halloween, the original Halloween. I'm gonna put that up on my list. For sure. I will throw in, I do like Nightmare on Elm Street. I will throw those in on there as well. Saw, yes. Saw definitely hit my list. And then one that I like, I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's one on my list there. And Night of the Living Dead. That's probably like 3A and 3B maybe.
Yeah.
The original. You can do the 79 or the 92.
Zombies are great.
Yeah, the 92 version that was out in color of the Night of the Living Dead. Shout out to the young kid in there. He's wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers hat. He ends up getting blown up, spoiler alert, at the gas station pump. But you just shoot the lock off with a gun. Don't ever do that when you're near a gas station pump. So, spoiler alert. And are you going to go see the new Halloween movie? Any interest in it?
I tried to go this past weekend. It was sold out.
Wow, really? It's doing that well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Me and the old lady, we're going to go this Friday night and go see it. So she's not a big horror movie person, but she hasn't. And God forbid from her, she'd probably get mad at me saying this, but she said she hasn't seen the original Halloween, which I said, oh, my God. I said, so I've got to teach her a little bit. And
we got to get you up to speed. You got to at least watch one and two.
Yeah. So we've got some work to do here in the next week.
AMC should have them all.
Yeah. Well, I've got a server that's got a lot of them on there. I can just pick and choose. So, and then final festive thing, favorite Halloween candy?
Oh, man. Wow. It ain't candy corn.
Hell no, that's probably overrated.
Probably, my goodness, Jolly Rancher, like the apple cinnamon Jolly Rancher.
Jolly Ranchers.
Like the stick. Oh, yeah. Jolly Ranchers. Oh, yeah.
I'm going Reese's. Reese's Cups for me.
Oh.
I'm going to buy a lot of them.
That's
and I'll be handing out
candy. You didn't say chocolate. That's candy. I'm talking about candy. That's chocolate.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Chocolate or candy. Mix them all as one. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do our show. We've got one next week. That's the eve of Halloween. So I could have saved the Halloween stuff for then, but I was curious to hear your takes on those. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Crossroads Sports, and I'm at Brandon Reef, and then at Three Foolish Men for Jonathan. We'll have a good week here this week on our sports. Hopefully, everything the Pacers do well. Colts have another good one, and it'll be a lot of things for us to talk about next week.
That's right. Watch Walking Dead. Rick Grimes got two more episodes.
Is it just two more?
Rick. Two more. Oh. That's it.
Hey, who's this? Speaking of such, we got about a few minutes. The people flying the drones, is that an army or what is that?
Hey,
you
have to watch it. You gotta watch it. You gotta get back into it.
I've watched every episode.
Oh, so you're asking me who those? I do.
Yeah.
We gotta find out.
Because I thought those were the people that killed the guys from the Saviors, but ended up being the group of girls. Spoiler alert.
I'm trying to figure out how the heck you're going to have a show without Rick Grimes.
Maggie, she's going to be top dog.
You can't have a show without Rick Grimes. Brandon,
well,
we couldn't have this show without you. Crossroads Sports.
I know.
We can't have this show. Rick Grimes is the show. What happens to the baby?
The baby's there.
Okay,
she'll be with
Rick
Maggie
Grimes,
and the lady.
So Rick Grimes going to get a race? But they going to take care of his baby?
Yeah. And then I'm ready for the next episode when you've got Maggie going to what's his face? I can't even think of his name right now.
They're not going to kill Negan.
No.
Her and Daryl's not going to kill Negan.
Well, Daryl's about – who do you think kills Rick? I think it's Daryl.
Who says Rick is going to die?
I think he dies. What is he going to do, just walk away?
Dude, I'll revolt. I'm already revolt off Netflix for canceling Luke Cage. But I will revolt. I will never say nothing good about Walking Dead. If they kill Rick Grimes, this man killed 60 vampires. He killed 60 zombies by himself. When they were moving, they were trying to move through the city. You know what I'm talking about?
I know.
This man's a zombie. He's gonna let who can kill him? Who?
I think it's gonna be Daryl.
Negan couldn't kill him. What's the other character's name? The Admiral, not the Admiral.
The Governor.
The Governor couldn't kill
him. The Admiral.
Terminus couldn't kill him.
His boy. Who's the other police officer back in the day?
He's the Punisher now. I can't think of the name. I can't think of his name right now. But yeah, he could. Yeah, he got betrayed. He could kill him.
Somebody's going to kill him. It'll be interesting to see.
If Rick Grimes gets killed, I would be disappointed.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll be looking forward to that night when that happens, and then I'll be shooting you a text.
Right. All right.
So, all right, John. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Stay safe.
See you, buddy. All right. Thank you again, Jonathan, for joining us. We had some sports, then we talk Halloween. And then we talk some of the entertainment, some TV shows. That's what Jonathan knows best as well. So getting his take on a lot of those things. We're going to do a quick ad read real quick, and then we'll be back to finish the show. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism. Specializing in aerial photography and videography, using the highest quality drone equipment, Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's dronepromedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. All right, guys, thank you for joining us once again. It was a great show. We talked college football. We talked NFL. We talked the Pacers, LeBron, the Lakers, the Rockets, the fights. And then we sprinkle in some Halloween. So thank you guys again. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Follow us on the Facebook page. You can download this episode as well. We'll be available on iTunes. Please like, subscribe, and share. Pass to several other people. And we'll see you guys again next week. Everybody have a great, safe week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Crossroads Sports.